Welcome back.
Hey.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yay, oh my God, 2020. Yes. So exciting. New Year, same us.
New Year, more books.
More books. Yeah, that's as far as like resolutions, I'm not like a huge resolution person. My resolutions this year are to like try more new foods.
Nice.
So like progress. I'm going to register, I think, for like at least 2 more races. So I have motivation to like be outside, which I love anyway, but I need to do that. And to get through my entire list. I mean, my Goodreads goal was like 25.
Yeah.
But to get through a chunk of my to-be-read list.
Yeah.
That's a goal.
I got motivated when you started training again because I love running. And I was using the excuse for a while, like, oh, I'm recovering from surgery. And then a year later, I'm like, okay, I'm done recovering. Let's get back into it. So anyways, I'm going to register for my Xterra SoCal, you know, races again.
And do you register all at once for all of those races, or is it, like, separate registrations?
You can register for one, or you get discounts if you register for more than one sometime. But anyways, I'm going to do that. And then on Goodreads, I did the same exact goal as last year because I met it just barely. I did 25 books last year. And I would always like to do more, but I'm, like, averaging what I average in terms of, like, work and school. I'm, like, that's attainable. And, and I enjoyed a lot of the books we read last year, plus some other ones that we didn't do on the podcast. So we didn't say it, but welcome back to Drunk Poet Society, Drunk Poets. And always starting off the new year, we're looking for suggestions, so be sure to send them our way.
Because it's like there's no shortage of books in the world, and especially like books that we want to read, but trying to give ourselves and you a more balanced variety of books, that's the goal. And I know that we have been told, not by like a ton of people, but by a few, that we haven't done any like sci-fi and we haven't done a whole lot of fantasy unless you want to consider like Outlander is kind
historical,
of fantastical.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same with books that we've chosen already. So if you have any sci-fi requests.
Yeah, because also, since I'm just not so familiar with that genre, I think it's like, I guess I could go on Goodreads and we could just see what the top ones of like 2019 were. But if you have suggestions, for sure.
I'd love to do some sci-fi that are kind of balanced. I feel like most of the sci-fi that I've read in my life has all been written by men, which is not a problem. But I feel like I would like to read some female-written sci-fi. So if you have any suggestions, I know everybody always has Ursula Le Guin and I don't know. Does Suzanne Collins count? Are those books sci-fi? They're kind of just dystopian. Are dystopian books sci-fi?
Ooh.
They do have technology that we do not have.
That's a good question. I guess some would kind of cross over genres.
Yeah.
Also, I wouldn't mind because I've started and never finished The Martian Chronicles.
That
would be a good one to do. That's Ray Bradbury, right?
I would also reread The Martian. I dug that book. I would only consider that sci-fi because, you know, we're probably like, what, 10, 5, 3 years away from
the next year.
Hey, NASA knows so much more than us. I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist because I'm not.
But
I might be a little bit. They definitely have things that they do not tell us. But welcome back today. I am Felice.
I'm Taylor.
And today we are coming together to drink some beer and hang out and talk about Josie Silver's One Day in December.
Yes.
I have so many feelings about this.
Oh, me too.
But first, let's introduce the beverage.
Oh, yes. So inspiration for this beverage came from the back of the book. In the back of the book, it was like,
if you're a Laurie.
I don't know why.
If you're a Sarah.
You know why? It was because I looked at the author's name. I was like, maybe she had her own cocktail. Sorry, if you're a Laurie, if you're a Sarah, if you're a Jack, or if you're an Oscar. And I had different suggestions, but
forget about Oscar.
But due to time and just laziness, I guess, we went with beer, which is if you're a Jack.
Yeah, I really don't like particularly identify with any of these characters. Not really.
Yeah. So this is a Christmas ale, and what is this? It's Bell's Brewery.
Yeah, it's a Scotch ale.
Scotch ale. Yeah. Christmas ale. It's a very cute bottle. I like it.
Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, here's the trouble: is we bought this because you know the holidays and stuff. This is probably not a beer that is available all of the time. It'd be cool, I guess, if it was, because I feel like I could enjoy this during the summertime, which is when I tend to buy beer more frequently. Yeah. But cheers.
Cheers.
Yep.
I like it.
Mm, me too.
I'm into it.
We're also using these cute little glasses that I got from McLeod Ale Brewing Company in Van Nuys, California. They also make really, really good beer, so check them out. I don't think they have very wide distribution, so sorry. But, synopsis?
Yeah, we can go over a little bit of the plot.
Essentially, it takes place over 10 years, like a 10-year span in London, England, primarily, and it is about two best friends. And to start, our character Lori sees a guy at a bus stop within the first little bit of it, and goes home to her flatmate and is like, "Oh my God, saw this guy.
We
the bus was too crowded.
Eye contact.
They did," and like she saw him get up to like try and get on the bus, and she realized she couldn't get off, and it was kind of like this beautiful meet cute. And she goes home and tells her roommate about it, and it starts kind of like this year long obsession. Then year later, I don't know how far
I
want to go with this.
And also, like, it was just like bus boys. They were fully obsessed with finding bus boys.
Oh yeah, they were
so,
looking. Sarah
like,
and Lori looked everywhere for bus boys.
And it was funny because at one point I think one of them goes, "Well, how big could London be?" And you're thinking like,
"London's
massive. What do you mean?"
Oh my goodness. Then a year later, Sarah wants to introduce Lori to her new boyfriend.
Yes.
And I feel like I feel like most people probably reading this book would be like, "Oh, I know who the new boyfriend's gonna be
immediately."
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But we find out that the new boyfriend is this guy named Jack, who is the damn busboy.
Yeah.
And they like look at each other and there's no recognition kind of on either side. Like it's a book written in two perspectives. You either get Lori chapters or you get Jack chapters.
You get a lot more Lori though.
You get a lot more Lori. And from Lori's perspective, he is making no kind of recollection of knowing her at all. And in her head, she's like, "Give me some kind of sign. Like, show me you know who I am." Nothing. But then you get a Jack chapter and he's like, "Oh, great."
Yeah.
And 10 years, oh, I guess 9 years after that, just kind of explodes. So what's initial thoughts?
So I think I enjoyed a lot about this book. I don't know. I don't think I probably didn't enjoy it as much as you did though. I don't know. The love at first sight thing, I don't know how on board I am with that anyways. Like, you know, they see each other, make googly eyes, and then she is just obsessed. At some point, as a friend, if I was Lori's friend, I'd be like, "Girl, like, you were..."
Even at 22, or however old they are, because we're kind of pragmatic humans, I don't think that either of us are likely to do that.
Yeah, but I'm like, it would be fun, like, as a friend, I might go along with it for a week and be like, "Oh yeah, we'll find the bus boy, like, yeah, that's cute." And then after, like, that week, I'd be like, you're gonna pass up all these other dudes, or we're gonna go to the pub just to look for this guy that you saw once, and I was like... to be honest, I wasn't on board at first. And then, like, I enjoyed the character development. I understand that it's, like, very much your, you know, your rom-com type of storyline.
Sure. Yeah.
I do like when books span long lengths of time. You get to really know the characters and see how they develop. And in this case, kind of jumping a bit, you see how crazy Jack turns, like, as he gets into his profession and he's turning into this total, like, kind of jerk.
Yeah, and the changeover time factor, too, because if you think about it, I mean, as someone in their early 30s, like, I'm thinking about it, okay, I am at the point at the end of the book where these characters are at. Like, let me think back to myself at 22, like, what things have changed since then? And I think a lot of the obsession with the busboy thing, like, whereas I wouldn't have necessarily done that when I was 22 years old. But if Lori's the pragmatic one in that friendship, so like, I think that's why Sarah was just like, "Hell yeah, we'll go to bars and we'll look for this guy," because she was just not necessarily even a romantic, just kind of, I don't know.
She was that friend who was, you know, yeah, like flirty and like she's being described as like she's the gorgeous friend and I'm just like kind of the sidekick wingman type. You know, Lori's like I'm the sidekick wingman type, and Sarah's like this boisterous, like beautiful and like extroverted.
But then
you
got Jack who's talking about Lori, and Jack it gets really tropey when he's like the, you don't know you're beautiful. Like, you're just as beautiful. Yeah. Like, you are also all of these things. Like, you're looking at your friend like she is, you know, stunning and this and that and whatever. But you have all of these attributes that, like, make you, mm-hmm, you know, stunning and beautiful and whatever else.
Yeah, and so it's like, I would, I don't know, I would have bought it more. And I know this is a fictional story, but I would have bought more if she was like, man, that's a handsome guy. Then like a week of like the, oh, I wish I could find best boy. Then she gets over it, and then a year later you're like, oh my God, it's this handsome guy. And then like the relationship develops, but because she was just
obsessed.
So, yeah, it was obsessed for a year of not seeing this dude. And then all of a sudden your best friend brings home like, and also I disagree with the fact, cause okay, sorry, really
no.
quick interjection. I took
sure.
a screenshot of this, back the book, cause I read it on my Kindle. And, one, and it's like the questions to the author at the end, and she's kind of answering them. And one of the answers to a question where it's like love at first sight and fate are major themes, could you talk about this balance between fate and choice? And she answers, Lori finds herself in an impossible position. And I already want to be like, stop, it's not impossible.
No,
you could have said this you could have said this so early on. Hey, that's bus boy. Sorry if it makes
just
awkward.
FYI.
Yeah.
Like, you can have him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Lori screwed up.
Yeah.
Jack screwed up.
Yeah. Everyone.
Which one of them screwed up more?
Lori.
Yeah. Best friend.
100%.
100%.
Lori.
You are the best friend.
Yeah.
I don't know. my husband doesn't enjoy my opinion on this, but I don't really believe in, like, fate in that way, or even like soulmates or anything
yeah.
like that. Like I wake up and I choose to be with my partner every single day. I do not believe that it's like a fated thing that I was destined for this to happen. I don't know. So the idea of like, oh, well, of course, like Jack and Lori were destined to be together
yeah.
or whatever the case is, like that,
yeah.
that is, that's a little eye-rolly for me.
It was just for me, even like jumping all the way to the end. So you see this whole relationship, and we'll jump back to the middle parts in a second, but like going through this whole relationship and the will they, won't they, and the will they come clean, won't they come clean, and they're so in love and blah, blah, blah. And then you get to the end, which is this super like cinematic moment of, and then she shows up with tinsel in her hair at the radio
and
station.
It's five
and it's,
pages.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is the most Hallmark ending. And it's not to criticize the writing. I actually really like the way she wrote and
yeah.
I found it quite entertaining. But in terms of the story, I was just like, I don't know what I expected, but there was like no substance to it. You know, it's like, it's kind of like just eating empty calories. Like it was just so, all right, well,
mm-hmm.
I kind of knew this was
a little saccharine.
Yeah.
I dug how things kind of worked out with Sarah, who also screwed up.
Yeah.
But I liked that, how that plot line kind of played out. So the fact that, oh, here's this random dude who was there when Jack got hurt, who called Sarah, like, for whatever reason, they, like, made a conversation, all kinds of things happen, and now they're in Australia, you know, just, like, kicking it and
yeah, that,
making
Perth.
Babies. Yeah,
they
in
were,
Perth,
no,
Australia.
Actually, sorry, they were in Cottesloe, which, just for the listeners out there, I lived in Perth for 6 years, and Cottesloe is where I work, so I was reading that, and I was on a plane to Australia at the time, I was, like,
geeking
so
out a little
cool.
bit. Yeah. So, if you haven't read the book, I mean, we've already done spoilers, but I kind of don't want to talk in synopsis form anymore.
Yeah.
So, too much crap happens in this book.
Yeah.
There are moments that are cringy all over the place, but situationally cringy, again, it doesn't necessarily have to do with the writing, because I thought that Josie Silver did a really great job of especially switching back and forth between the perspectives of Jack and Lori.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really key. I read it and I listened to the audiobook. I did a little bit of each. And in the audiobook, you get a Jack and a Lori. And so
oh,
you've
cool.
got different characters, of course, with English accents, because why would you do anything else, reading both of those parts? So, question. Do you think that Oscar and Sarah, which perspective do you think is more accurate of either of those people? Because they didn't have their own voice. Mm-hmm. So you see Oscar through Jack's eyes. You see Oscar through mm-hmm. Lori's eyes. Same thing with Sarah. Like,
yeah.
What kind of, like, differences and things did you notice between those two?
Well, I think the interesting thing is, you know, Lori meets Oscar when they're in paradise. And people are different when they're traveling or when they're, you know, in paradise or when they're, like, kind of escaping their everyday life. Like,
sure.
You know, I've had, like, summer crushes with, and, like, kind of hung out with people when I'm traveling and known that that's all it is, because when you get back to life, like, I met someone who was, like, the most free-spirited person. And it's exactly like Oscar, actually. And then went back to an accounting finance job. And I was just like, wow, that would just blew my mind because you seemed like the most hippie person chilling on a beach. So I think Lori's perspective was interesting, seeing their relationship develop once they left Thailand. Right, Thailand?
Yeah, and Lori's not a free spirit either.
No, yeah.
She's not, like, buttoned up or anything, but she's pretty goal-oriented.
She's goal-oriented, but she's very immature in a lot of ways.
Oh, at the beginning of this book, almost everybody
is. But even, like, as she progresses, like, she has, it's a weird balance. Like, sometimes you see, like, the adults start to, like, develop, but then she's also got a very immature personality mm-hmm. in general.
Yeah.
And Oscar is definitely the guy who, he went away to just, like, regroup, see what life was, like, the other side of the, mm-hmm. you know, like, grass with greener type of thing, and then came back and fell right back into his, like, very specific role. That being said, also think he's a bit shady for being with, like, his ex on these getaways and, like,
well,
and Brussels and whatever.
And the only, first of all, London is great. Go to Brussels. Live in Brussels.
Yeah. Well, but she was like, so, well, I need to do my job, and I just wanted to be like,
oh. They have magazines.
Yeah.
Or, like, take the train and go work in Amsterdam a few days a week or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like she didn't have to make that big of a...
No.
But that being said, okay, now I'm going to play devil's advocate on myself as well. Like, if I didn't want to move and this partner was like, well...
That's it.
Like, always assuming that you were going to be the one to move, I think at some point I'd dig my heels in and be like, no,
I think, it's definitely the circumstance. Because me as a human, like, hell yeah, I'd be down to live in, in Brussels. That would be, cobblestones everywhere. Oh man, I would like that very much. And it's so close to everything else. Like, yes, we live in Los Angeles. We can travel to lots of things all the time. But there's a train station in Brussels that will take you anywhere.
Yeah.
It's great. But he didn't give her an option. And all of, like,
that's what I don't
the
like.
Plot line with the... I think the plot line with the baby was probably the most evident of what you mentioned with Lori's immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
The trying to get pregnant, the way that she was thinking about the baby, and then especially once she realized, like, oh crap, like, now I feel trapped because I think that I'm pregnant. And I was relieved when I found out that I wasn't pregnant. I don't think that an adult or someone who was mature enough to, like, grow a human and nurture a human and stuff would have necessarily been thinking of it necessarily in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it seemed like Oscar had all of these beautiful ideals, and Lori was just so happy to have somebody who was completely obsessed with her, which Oscar was, that she was just kind of, like, folding over and over and over again. Every time he said something, she'd be like, okay, yeah, no, I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you asked me to marry you 100 times. I guess I'll say yes this time.
Yeah.
And that's how the baby part felt like. So the baby part was really cringy to me just because it was like,
Totally, yeah. I also, just side note, really dislike the name Starfish.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I mean, to each their own, whatever you want to call your partner. But, like, every time I imagine, when he first mentioned it and they were in Thailand and he called her Starfish, I just imagined her, like, laying, like, spread eagle.
Yep.
Like, you're just like, what? This is the most unattractive visual.
I imagine her like that, but also sunburnt.
Yeah.
Because I think Starfish is, like, pink.
Pink, like, arms spread out, legs apart, and you're just like, Starfish, hey, sexy, and you're just like, what?
Oh my god. I don't think it's his fault, but I didn't like Oscar, and I don't think I was ever supposed to, but there was about 90% of the book that I didn't like Jack either.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like Jack was more, like, if he was going to be an asshole, he owned it, whereas Oscar was like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to do a good thing for us, and it's like, no, you're just you're making all of the decisions and you're being controlling, whereas Jack just...
Well, and that was interesting. So going back to, like, the perspectives on Oscar, I think Laurie's perspective came from, man, I really do love and care about this person who is treating me so well.
Yeah.
And, you know, is not kicking me out of his home, even though I feel like I'm overstaying my welcome and I want to be independent, but he's doing all these amazing things and he's so nice and caring. And even though he has all this money, like, he is still a really down-to-earth guy. Whereas then Jack comes in the picture and sees, like, oh, who's this douchebag who's, like, bringing us to a yacht club and buying us fancy cocktails. But then, like, Jack is totally the jerk in this scenario. Like, 100%.
At the first club, yeah. At the club when they meet, yeah. Oh my, yeah, no, Jack was such a jerk. And Sarah even is commenting, like, on his clothing. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
What did it say? Like, Starfucker? Or...
Yeah, something like
it
that.
It said, it's, like, something that... Like, I'm all about graphic tees. I dig graphic tees. But you gotta know your audience, or
yeah.
I don't know.
It just came from a lack of respect. That was the difference.
And I think,
you know?
that's he was trying to say F you. Like, yeah. He was, that was the goal. Like, I don't care about your opinion, but I'm gonna put all of this time into choosing my outfit, so I really care about your opinion. I liked I guess I asked you a question about Sarah too, but I really liked how you did mention that, like, Laurie, even growing up, doesn't quite get there as far as maturity goes. Like, even at the end, like, her and Jack probably deserve each other because they're not very mature. But you can see that moment when Sarah kind of flips.
Mm-hmm.
And it's after Jack had his accident and, like, she's getting really serious at work and kind of doesn't want to take his crap anymore. And you can kind of see that shift where you're like, oh, Sarah's a grown up now. Like,
Sarah's,
she doesn't want to go out and party.
Independent woman.
Yeah.
You know? Like, even though she is kind of even falling into another relationship straight away with the guy who saved Jack, but regardless,
she knows her mind.
Yeah. She's, and to be honest, she's kind of always known it. Even though she was more immature in the sense that she was acting young and partying and whatever,
sure. She
still always kind of had a sense of who she was, whereas Laurie was always kind of floundering to find it. Or she defined herself by the people she was surrounded with. So she defined herself by Sarah, and she defined herself by Busboy, and she defined herself by Oscar and all this stuff. And to be honest, by the end of the book, she still hadn't really found herself. Like...
What was she doing by the end of the book? Did she have another writing job?
But it was... She went from the teen stuff to...
I don't remember her job at the end of the
book. It was the same type of thing.
Like advice column stuff?
It was advice column stuff, but not for teens.
All right. Well, she elevated herself. I'm definitely not downing any type of literary job whatsoever. Because, like, get it. If that's what you can do. But she devalued it.
Yeah.
All over the place. Like, all she wanted at the beginning of the book was, like, a legitimate job. And then the moment that I think it might have been Jack, she cared about his opinion so much. She was so excited to get that job, and she was so excited to tell Sarah. And then I want to say that the moment she told Jack, he was like, really? Like, that's the job you're doing? And I feel like her idea of it shifted at that point in time. And she was more, like, dismissive. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a writing job, so...
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that being... I do understand that kind of response, because when it's someone you really care about and you explain something to them, they're like, oh, that's all you're doing? And
especially
then you try
if it's something you're excited about.
Yeah. And then you try and tell them, like, oh, well, it's cooler than it sounds because, you know...
it can lead to other things. I feel like, just living in Los Angeles, you hear that a lot.
This is a good time, though, to take a break and
get
a quick word from some sponsors, guys. So we'll be right back.
Bye.
What other sections of the book do you
remember? I can talk. Okay, so there were a lot of elements that I liked. Like I said, I really do like books with dual perspectives.
Yeah.
Not, I don't really like books with several perspectives, but I do like the ones that go back and forth. I feel like there are a couple of the Outlander books that do that, like, further in the series. They give Jamie a couple of chapters, which is a big deal. But I liked that a lot. What I didn't like that made me want to, I don't know, throw stuff, are all of the situations before Laurie and Jack acknowledge that they both know that, like, they were busboy and busgirl, like, and they spend time alone together, and you're getting their thoughts, and you're like, this is gross. You're a bad friend. You're a bad boyfriend.
Yeah.
So one of those occasions was Lori's birthday.
Yeah.
When they did the whole Grease thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Jack brought his, like, meathead kind of jerk friend.
Yeah,
and
which, first of all, like, if you're gonna bring someone to, like, kind of be the, you know, potential date or whatever,
yeah,
like, you gotta find someone better.
Well, and that being said, I don't think we got a lot about him from Jack. So maybe Jack really does think that he's, like, the bee's knees.
But what we got was,
he's pretty. Aw, you're pretty. That kind of an insult. Mm-hmm. But when they went on the Ferris wheel, and then, I mean, Lori obviously gets bad news while they're there, but they're on the Ferris wheel, and it's just like, you both know.
Yeah.
You both, and...
And you're putting yourself in these situations.
Like. And even though that you don't know, that the other person knows, you should do better. Be better. Like, don't go on a Ferris wheel if you're basically in love with your best friend's boyfriend.
And also, on that note, so, you know, the night that Lori kind of gets drunk and confesses, like, I saw you, and I was on a bus, and we made eye contact, and plays the dumb card, he's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's when they're in the pub, right?
Yeah,
and he kisses her?
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's such a scumbag at that moment.
Like, what do you think about that? Like, they could have been handled so many ways. And to be honest, could have been handled the easiest way, where he goes, yeah.
Yes.
Like, what's the point of denying it, you know?
Like, did you think that was going to save your ass, Jack? Like, what do you think was going to happen? Also, I am obviously, as someone who has a podcast about drinking, I am not judgmental. But the sheer amount of time that they spent drunk in their 20s is not my life. Like,
crazy.
I can probably vividly remember, because that's just how, I guess, not drunk I've been at all the times. I can vividly remember all of the times that I was drunk in my 20s. Like, I don't think that I've forgotten any of those times. And it's not as frequently as what happened in this book. And I was like, maybe that's, like, just trying to show how these people bonded, whatever. But it distracted me sometimes.
Also,
first instinct was just like, let's get drunk on cheap wine. Like,
yeah, but I also feel like they're actually pretty tame drunks. Like, when I think of young 20 somethings getting drunk, they're like partying, they're like, oh man, then we jumped off the roof to the pool. Like,
oh yeah, no, they're just making gross sandwiches.
Yeah, they're just at home watching bad TV making really disgusting sandwiches.
And I can appreciate that kind of drunk, but it still was it was like every single
night.
Every single
I don't even think it was like every weekend. I think it was like
all the time. And live your life. I don't know. But that was something that I had a hard time relating to. I also had a hard time, even as someone who, like, I don't want to call it a prude. Like, I'm not judgmental when it comes to drinking at all.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
be safe. Don't poison your body too much.
Balance. My life motto.
Everything in balance. But that's the key. Yes, there was no balance. I don't think they drank any water. Drink some water.
Yes.
Okay, people in your 20s, just
PSA.
Drink some water. Like, at least, like, what do they say? One for every alcoholic beverage. Also drink more than that.
Also drink before you fall asleep if you're very drunk.
Oh, yes.
Drink more water than you think is necessary.
Honestly, and if you know you're going out drinking, again, drink like 40 ounces of water earlier in the day. Like, pump your system into a PSA.
Yeah, for all those young 20s.
For hydration.
Yeah, listening.
Don't worry. You still can get drunk if you are drinking water.
Yeah,
I promise.
I think that's a common misconception. People are like, well, if I drink water, I won't get as, like, drunk. And I'm like, no, you're fine.
No, you'll still get drunk.
Don't
worry.
That's not how it works.
You're just saturating your blood. It's fine. So that was something. Also, I really wanted to get on board with that sandwich, but I can't do blue cheese, so every single time, like, all of the other ingredients, like, I wanted to say there was, like, fig jam and turkey, or you text me the recipe. I guess we could dive into it.
Yeah.
But
I think what I can relate to, even if it's not the disgusting sandwich, is, like, when someone makes something and it becomes, like, a routine, or it's when they make it, it always tastes better. It's like when mom makes something, it always tastes better. Or my grandmama, she makes banana pudding. And my mom uses the same exact recipe. Doesn't taste the same. Because grandmama didn't make it, you know?
I feel like I've only had your mom's banana pudding, but I've also had your sister's banana pudding. I've had both of them.
And it's nothing like my grandma's.
No, I'm sure it's not. But I want to say that because I had your mom's when I was really, when I was like 14 or 15 years old, that I like that better than Shannon's.
Yeah.
See, it's not even my family. All right. So we've got roast, we got toasted bread, lettuce, cranberry sauce, mayonnaise, blue cheese, roast chicken.
Those are the three that I'm like,
Here's the deal on the mayo and the cranberry sauce. I have had a cranberry aioli on a turkey sandwich before.
Okay.
That was the bee's knees. And, but I think that because it's called an aioli and it's not called mayonnaise,
maybe
like
that's
it's a mind over matter thing, but also there must have been garlic in it. Isn't there kind of generally garlic in an aioli? I feel like that's kind of a constant.
But then I've had things called garlic aioli, so I don't know if that's...
But maybe that's the only ingredient. It's just garlic mayonnaise and they can't call it that because people would be like, that's gross.
That's true.
Because I don't really, as a human, I generally don't really like mayonnaise. I keep it around in case I have a tuna sandwich.
But aioli is great.
But aioli is great. Yeah, no, tuna sandwich and like when we have parties and we make dip. Like, you need mayonnaise for those. We just don't talk about it. But aioli, I can get behind an aioli. Especially if I am at a restaurant and I'm like, ooh, a sriracha aioli with my french fries. I don't have to think about what's inside this.
No, I love any kind of good spicy aioli, but on that mayonnaise note for dips, I was at my friend's house and she's Australian, so albeit they're not close to Mexico, but she had just gotten married and
they did
one of the recipe books, you know, where it's like, oh, everyone submit a recipe and then we can give it to them because it's like the newlyweds.
Are you going to tell me it's mayonnaise with guacamole?
So they had a recipe called guacamole, and I maintain it is not guacamole because in the recipe was avocado, mayonnaise, salt, pepper, and I'm pretty sure a little squeeze of lemon, and that was it. And
oh
I was just like,
God.
That is not guacamole. That is avocado dip. You can call that avocado dip, but that is not, that could be an avocado aioli.
An avocado aioli. I know from an episode of Queer Eye that took place in... St. Louis.
I think I know what you're going to say, but go on.
But it was a Mexican family. And Anthony, who I love, is Canadian. And he and this Mexican family living in St. Louis or Kansas City or somewhere in Missouri were trying to like talk about their, we're going to call them avocado dips.
Yeah.
But it was a guacamole. And the mom or the grandmother or the abuela of the Mexican family was like, oh, well, I put sour cream in all of my guacamole. And whereas you've got people in Southern California that would probably be like, what? No. But Anthony was like, I can one-up you. It's even better. I use Greek yogurt in my guacamole. Like, I'm sitting here watching this like, this is wrong. It doesn't feel right.
I'm sorry, but like, you can... if you want to do a substitute for sour cream, like in soups, I've definitely done Greek yogurt.
Sure.
It's great. But if I'm making guacamole, it is going to have 100% avocado in there.
And like herbs and vegetables.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Plus some lime juice.
But yeah, but no mayonnaise.
No. My mom also, not to blast my mom, but definitely uses a little bit of sour cream in her guacamole. And she says that it's to keep it from browning, but like lime juice can do that.
Yeah.
I think it's just to make it creamier. Girl, live your life. Love you, Mom. But I disagree with you.
Went on a very long tangent about aioli.
I feel very passionately. Every time the sandwiches came up, I was like, should we do that? Should we do that? And then, for whatever reason, the mayonnaise just, well, and the blue cheese, loses me.
Maybe we'll try and make our own versions of it, and we'll use a garlic aioli just so our brain is like, oh, yeah, this is fine. Or a cranberry aioli.
Cranberry aioli. That we can buy somewhere so I don't have to know that there's mayonnaise in it. It's mind over matter, folks. I'm really
sorry.
I'll
make it before I bring it over. There you go. Then you don't, I'll label it.
Then I won't know. Yeah, no, I think of things differently when I think of mayonnaise. Besides tuna. So, this book, what did you think of Thailand? So, escapism. You've actually been to Thailand. You've been to the beaches of Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
I know all about escapism from going on Birthright and watching 30-year-olds who were like, yeah, all my life is in the States, and going balls to the walls.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to observe people and then kind of like see them since then kind of get back to it.
I think the other interesting thing is like there's, you know, there's a certain thing that happens when you're traveling without as much restriction. So when I went to Thailand, I went for about a month and it was right after I graduated college and I was like 21, something like 22. And there's a lot of people there, anywhere ranging from like 20 years old to 34, you know, something like that. And a lot of them were doing, like, visa runs. So they initially went, like, oh, yeah, this was a three-week vacation, and I've been here for 6 months. And they just would go on visa runs because you have to leave the country every however many, like, maybe every 30, 60 days, something like that. Maybe, I think it's, like,
so for Thailand, you don't need a visa in advance. It's just kind of, like,
so basically, when you get in, you get stamped in your passport with a visa, and then if you get caught with an overstay visa, you can get kicked out of the country. So people would just go to, like, Laos, or they would go to Vietnam, and then they'd come back into the country, get another 60 days, and whatever. But I met people who ended up trying to just find a job at the hostel that they had been staying at, and then they worked the front desk. And so the hostels that I was staying at, because I went all around Thailand, they would just be bouncing around. And, man, it became the biggest form of escapism, because me at 21, I mean, at that point, I could have stayed an extra month. I did get sucked into the whole world of, oh, this is the life. You wake up and you go to the hot springs, and then during the day when it gets hot, you go to the waterfalls. And then, you know, I wasn't making money at the time, but I was like, I could find a job here that would sustain this kind of lifestyle.
And it's really cheap to travel around in places like Thailand.
Yeah, and it was, you know, $3 for meals, if that, you know. It was just, it was crazy. And the people were lovely, and I loved Northern Thailand. But, like, relating back to the book, I can totally see where they're coming from. And you do kind of, it's not like you're being someone you're not, because you are genuinely, like, your authentic self, but you're your authentic self in that context. Because I think what makes me is just as much, like, the traveler adventurous spirit as it is coming here and studying medicine. So, but it is really interesting, because I think people who met me and people that I met traveling, I see them now, like, in business suits, and, you know, they've just graduated with, like, their, you know, business degrees, and it's just totally different, you know. But what about you?
I don't know. It depends on, I think, duration of stay. Because, like, I still don't necessarily prescribe to complete, just because I think my anxiety derives from lack of control. Mm-hmm. So still not kind of like a completely let go kind of person on vacation. But there is a really, really attractive element of not having to deal with day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. One thing that I love about traveling is not having to drive anywhere.
Yeah.
Because it seems like most of the it probably sounds crazy. Most of the places that I have traveled, like, you're on trains and you're on buses, and, like, I don't have to navigate a car, and where we live, that's every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day. I don't think...
You walk a lot, and that's really nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I would like to go somewhere longer than... I think the longest that I've been a traveler is probably about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, that sounds really super attractive, and also very hard with my job and stuff like that, but not necessarily not interested in that. I'm trying to figure out why Lori chose where she did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seemed like she wanted to get away. She knew, I think a lot of Brits and Aussies tend to go toward that part of the world when
they go
on vacation.
Tropical, yeah. And also just, I know for Australia purposes,
it's so close.
Yeah.
And obviously we know why Oscar left also, but I don't know. I don't think that Lori found what she thought that she found what she wanted when she was traveling, because she was, I don't know if coveting is the right word, but kind of coveted what Sarah and Jack had and just wanted her person.
Yeah. And I think, it's interesting, 'cause now that you brought that up, I was thinking, I think she did it for an adventure to, like, find herself and to become more of that strong, independent woman. And then she ends up meeting a dude.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, man, come on. You
can't. It is a contemporary romance novel for all intents and purposes. And even with Sarah, like, even though she, you said this before, like, even though she was, like, super committed to her career and had all these other aspects to her, she still, like, went straight from Jack to another guy. And, like, yes, she was happy and this, you know, a great Australian guy, they moved to Perth, and how exciting.
I think that's the best thing she could have done.
But they, don't know, the making decisions for yourself part.
And maybe
was
sorry to interrupt.
Missing. Yeah.
I know, I was just gonna say, and maybe I just don't relate to that because I really am. I thoroughly enjoy, I mean, I'm in a relationship now, but I thoroughly enjoy being single because there was, like, no one I had to check in with. Mm-hmm. I could go, like, I didn't have to say I'm out tonight. I didn't have to justify where I'm going. Like, and also, I very much do like to define myself by things that I do. So, you know, like, I'm a runner and I'm a student and I'm a business owner and I'm a whatever. And so maybe seeing two characters who seem very much defined by the relationship they're in. And I know people like that, so it's not to say that they don't exist for sure, because I have many friends who, and that's all right too. The other thing I try and step back and refocus a bit is that everyone has different priorities in life. And while my priorities might be selfish, mm-hmm. you know, for me,
sure.
Someone else's priority might be, I really want a family, and thus I really want to find a partner to have that family with. Not that you need a partner, but that is something that I would really like, and that is motivation for them. But the interesting thing is, I don't see that from Lori. Like, she obviously, I mean, maybe she didn't want the kid because it was with the wrong person, but it's not like she's yearning for, like, oh, I want the family, and I want the this and the that. She's just obsessed with this one dude that she saw one time on a bus.
I also think there's certain elements of codependency, which probably is too buzzworthy, but there's a lot of elements of codependency inside of this book. And again, like I said, try not to be, like, too judgmental when it comes to things like that. But again, with some of the, I try very hard to not make those choices in my life. Because I feel like you're naturally, especially if you're an empathetic person, you're naturally inclined to, like, make sure that somebody else is comfortable. And so, like, trying to make sure that I'm not making those choices is definitely something that I am cognizant of. And watching even female friendships that seem very codependent
mm-hmm.
or it, not honest, but definitely like, oh, well, I'm not going to say anything to Sarah because I'm super worried about her feelings. Like, yes, you can definitely be a good friend and worry about somebody else's feelings, but you obviously can't control their reactions. Like, Sarah didn't go to Lori and Oscar's wedding, like, because you were so worried about her feelings and were trying to, like, make other people comfortable. It made this huge rift that was nearly irreparable.
Well, I was going to say that even, in my opinion, Sarah's response was very immature, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, Lori was definitely at fault for keeping a secret from her best friend for that
long.
Like,
5 years or
but
however long it was. Oh,
the
man.
Way Sarah responds to it, I guess the more hurtful thing is the fact that Lori kind of admits to, I have been in love with Jack since we
mm-hmm.
met, and you didn't tell me, as opposed to, because if Lori had just come out and been like, oh, by the way, that's busboy, I never told you, Sarah might be like, weird, why didn't you tell me, you know, but they're so
being in love with Jack.
Yeah, but we're so still wrapped up in this fact that Lori's been in love, and I think us as the audience are supposed to, like, really feel for, like, the struggle and stuff, and instead I'm just sitting here like, well, y'all, that messed up.
I feel like most of my enjoyment of this book was not in the will they, won't they, but was more in, like, character study kind of things, just because you do get all of these interesting perspectives of all of the characters, because you're only getting Lori and Jack's thoughts. But I was not, like, weeping in excitement during the tinsel scene at the end. Like,
I think,
like, you, it's a, you kind of knew going in, eventually something is going to happen where Lori and Jack get together.
Yeah. But I wouldn't have been opposed if for some reason, like, it was kind of this whole, you know, Romeo and Juliet and someone dies and then, like, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I mean, they tried to kind of, like, veer it in that way when Jack got really hurt.
That's true. So instead of, like, I've said a lot of negative, not negative things, but kind of critiques or what I found unrelatable of the book. But there are things I really did enjoy because I read this very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was very well written. I did enjoy the dueling perspective, like you said.
Yeah.
You have the two narrators, and they're both unreliable, and, you know, they're both drunk a lot. They were entertaining to write. They had very distinct, clear voices. I like the fact that it spans over many years, and you're seeing the characters develop with different relationships and different motivations for what they're doing. And overall, I thought it was For even my critiques, it was a strong enough storyline to keep me intrigued the entire book. There was never a point where I was like, oh, really, I'm struggling to finish this. I read it very quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel like if I had read this when I was the age of them when they started the books, like if I read this in my early 20s, I probably would have been on Lori's side a lot more. Or I definitely was not like, I want to get married, I want to have kids, I want to do this when I was 22. Or like want to be like in a relationship, like I have to be with somebody. I didn't necessarily feel that way, but I feel like I would have understood it a lot more than reading it now. Now a lot of the plights that she suffered throughout the book were just kind of like, grand scheme of things.
None of this really matters.
Like working through parents' deaths and family issues, like those are things that I kind of had more sympathy for when it came to this book. That being said, I enjoyed it. Again, I read it quickly. I read it last February because I think that's when it was a Reese's Book Club book. But it's so detailed that like when we were talking about reading this in December, I was like, crap. I read a synopsis and was like, I don't even remember Oscar. Like I have to read this book again. Probably because I read it so quickly the first time because I just wanted to know where the plot was going.
Yeah.
The fact that it like you got it where there's like 3 years of time frame where it talks about almost every day, and then you've got 3 years where it's like, oh, every 3 months we'll check in. It kind of moves along the plotline quickly. I think that Josie did a good job of not lingering on crap that wasn't important. Deemed what I think is important.
Yeah.
Because sometimes authors can do that, and they can kind of talk about time periods or plot points that I don't care about as much, I guess. And it felt less. Yeah, it felt less like that here. The only thing that I really liked about the end was Sarah's phone call to Laurie after, because Sarah, of course, listens to Jack's show.
Yeah, of course.
And when Sarah called her and was like, oh my God, you're Rhoda.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, thank you. Like, we're getting some closure with Sarah. That matters more to me than Laurie and Jack. The falling out with Sarah was a bummer, mostly because both of them handled it poorly.
Yeah.
Also, why are you telling her the day before you get married? What the hell?
They were drunk.
They were drunk.
That's the moral of the story.
They were drunk.
The only character I would have loved to have known more was Oscar's mom.
Dude! Or Alicia? No. What was the name of the ex-girlfriend that was still on the damn piano?
Yeah. That's why I want to know more about the mom. Because I just want to...
What's your motivation?
I want one chapter with her as the narrator being like, oh, who's this new girl that Oscar's bringing home? I'm just going to prominently place this photo of the girl that I wish was my daughter-in-law, who I still invite over for tea and coffee.
Also, I'm going to say tisk-tisk to Oscar. Maybe her name isn't Alicia. I don't remember her name. But when Letitia... No, something with an A at the end.
I thought it was like Natasha. I don't know.
I don't remember her name. Clearly, she was worth remembering. But I didn't... I kind of was anti-Oscar for a minute when they're in the kitchen and Lori brings flowers.
Yeah, that's...
And she's like, oh my God, you like threw water on me. What, bitch? I'm sorry. And then Oscar is like,
why would you do that?
What?
You just automatically... And I mean, he does later apologize for taking...
He does. And no. Like, you want to marry this girl, and you're going to believe your ex over her. Also, yeah, why didn't he tell Lori that she's in Brussels, too?
Yeah.
Like...
And again, you...
Oscar's mom just came over to say that.
But, like, also, you kind of belabor it and, like, wait until it comes out. Or, like, oh, I didn't want to upset you or I didn't want to worry you. You know what wouldn't have been worrying?
You telling me to begin with.
Hey, by the way, I forgot a minute. Or didn't even... No. Straight up. First day you get in there and your ex-girlfriend's there. You come home and you're like, hey, by the way, I'm working with her. That's it. That's all you had to say. That's all you had to say.
Yeah. So, no good, Oscar. I don't care how obsessed you are with Lori. It doesn't matter. That whole conversation, like, well, no, I'm not actually tempted, but, like, it's really far away. Like,
yeah, well,
you're trash, Oscar.
Where it's like, well, I don't even remember what they called it, but it's, like, basically offered me, like, sex on the side.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out her name.
Whatever her name is. Yeah, no, girl has little integrity. Or maybe, like, high fashion. Maybe what Josie Silver was trying to say is, like, you know, these industries in certain places, you know, just have arrangements. Maybe rich people, you know, are not faithful. I don't know what Josie Silver was trying to say, but...
Oh, the fact that she always got called Laurel.
Oh, yeah.
Cressida?
Cressida.
There we go.
Ugh. Sorry. If your name is Crescent, I'm really sorry, but now I have negative association, because...
There we go.
Well,
do some ratings?
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was a journey.
It was a journey.
A lot of character development was really great. I wish we had gotten more about Laurie and her sister's relationship before she died, because that seemed to be like a big milestone for Laurie.
Yeah.
Same deal with Jack and his dad. I wish that I had gotten a little bit more of that, because that seemed to be what made them the way that they are. So getting more a little about that would have been good. All in all, I mean, I read it twice. Not necessarily because I was, like, dying to read it again, because if we were going to talk about it, I needed to remember stuff. It's a quick read, though. It's super fast.
Yeah. Totally.
Which is why I needed to read it again, because I read it too fast. So, all in all, I don't know. As far as ratings go, which one do you want to do?
I'll do the drink.
Okay.
If you want to do the book.
Sure. I'm going to make it out of 10, because it's out of 10 years.
Yep.
So, out of 10 years, I'm going to give it a 7. Because I enjoyed it. I would recommend it to very specific people, not every single person that I know. And there are some books that I would recommend to, like, everybody. It's worthwhile, and I think it would probably make for some good cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I'd watch this movie.
Yeah.
But there were, it's definitely not, it's a strong C+, B- for me.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give it 6.5 years. I'm going to give it a solid 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain people I think would enjoy it. I think my mom would really like reading it. Mm-hmm. I think it is, if you like romance, it's not a bad read. It's quick. It's, you know, it is what it is. I found myself rolling my eyes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That was my biggest criticism.
And I think the reason that that is a downside is because sometimes you go into books and you're like, this is going to be ridiculous. I'm going to roll my eyes a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I trust Reese Book Club books and don't expect that. So maybe that's some of it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in general, we've read other Reese's mm-hmm. Book Club books and I didn't feel like this during it. So it's not that it was poorly written. I think she is a great author. I just think this book wasn't necessarily my cup of
not British the demographic.
Tea. Yeah. So the drink.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I don't know if any other significant numbers.
I don't know.
I was going to do his radio station, but I don't have time to look it up. Like, I'll do it out of 98.7 just because that's a local radio
station. That is a local radio station.
So we're going to do it out of 98.7. Mm-hmm. And because I'm going, I'll go with 98.7 surprise kisses. Because, like, he was just out of nowhere, like, surprise kiss. So.
All right. So 98.7 surprise kisses. What are you giving it?
I'm going to give it 90 surprise kisses, you know? Maybe, no, you know what? Actually, I'm giving it 92 surprise kisses.
92 surprise kisses.
I really liked it. It's one that I personally wouldn't drink more than one of, but it's delicious, and I like a good ale, so.
I'm going to give it 90 surprise kisses, only because flavor, really good. I dig an amber. Scotch ales are good. Mm-hmm. Downside for me, ABV, and I feel like maybe this is just something that I am becoming cognizant of as I get older, but like I've cut down on the amount of IPAs and stuff that I have been consuming because of ABV, and this guy is 7.5%.
That's decent.
So we split one today,
to
be fair. And I definitely, especially if I was at a bar, could drink an entire pint of this.
Totally.
At home, it was fine splitting it.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't here and I had opened this afternoon, the bottom half would be warm by now and I wouldn't want it.
Yeah, but it was delicious. So I really
super delicious.
It.
I've had other Bell's beers that are good. And it must be pretty big if we're getting it in California from Michigan. Right? M-I-S Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hope you enjoyed our trip to London as much as we did.
Yes. Coming up next, we have an autobiography.
We do.
This one, I think we both mentioned at some point, and then I ended up, I think, just getting the audiobook of it. So I was like, no, we have to get this one.
To the audiobook also.
Yeah. Mm. And so it is, I was about to say Uneducated. I was like, that's not what
that's
it's called.
That's not it at all.
It's called Educated by Tara or
Westover. I don't know.
Tara or Tara Westover. It's, oh boy, it's going to be a lot to talk about.
It certainly will. I would recommend that book to anybody. Like, okay. I don't know if there's anybody that I'd be like, nah, you don't have to read or listen to this book. Just do it,
yeah.
Please. And then listen to it afterward. Please, I do not recommend, sorry, listening to that episode prior to reading the book.
Yeah. Because there's just a lot to unpack, and I'm excited to talk about it.
And memoirs are always interesting because you've got one person's perspective that you're getting, and it's hard to know sometimes whether or not, like, she even says in the book several times, like, my siblings don't remember the same thing that I did. And I don't know about you, but I definitely remember things that there is no way that I have actual memories of because I've either seen the same picture so many times or been told
story.
The same story from my parents or something. So memoirs, especially ones that start in early childhood, are really, really interesting to me.
And I like how she does point out that at times she can be an unreliable narrator, you know, because she's like, I ran it past my siblings and all three of us had different stories or like whatever it is, you know.
Especially when it's trauma. Mm-hmm. Like, I think most of the time that she's like, we have different ideas, it's when someone is injured.
And yeah.
Like, what were the details of that injury? So definitely check it out. Love to know your questions and your thoughts as far before our recording. So anytime in the next, like, couple of days.
Totally.
Yeah, but check it out. We've got some exciting new ones coming soon. We'll post a new book list on our Instagram at... on DPS_podcast.
We got that. You can always email us suggestions as well. Suggestions for books, suggestions for matching cocktails and drinks. You can email us at drunkpoetsocietypodcast@gmail.com.
Leaving us a voice message on Anchor is always an amazing idea. The link is in our Instagram bio.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to us on Apple or on Spotify, go to the Instagram, follow the link, and it'll take you to Anchor, so you can leave us a message, and we'll feature you.
Yeah, yeah, we currently don't have any new messages, but it can be anything. It could be just a quick hello, it could be a suggestion, it could be your comments on a previous book. Love to hear from you. Other than that, thank you guys for joining us. We hope you're going to have a wonderful
new
2020.
Year.
Set all your goals for how many books you want to read in 2020, let us know.
Those are the only resolutions that matter, guys.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. And just remember that it is not drinking alone.
If you have a book.
Bye.
Bye.